Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, but mostly it ends in general tomfoolery. It is US week, so of course I am Mr. Ben Williams. Joining me, as ever, Mr. Taylor Burse.
Good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening. Louis will not be joining us. Louis Satter will not be joining us on this particular episode because he is doing husbandry duties. Well, I say husbandry duties. He's celebrating his fiance's birthday with his fiance, so we won't default him too much for that.
Yeah, that's kind of a bit of an important deal.
Yeah, just a bit. Before I forget to mention, this is episode 14 of our 2024 season, because I realized after we recorded our last show, I never said what episode it was, so I remember to do it this time. How are you this week, Taylor?
Doing pretty good. Just kicking off another week of racing action that we got covered over in Houston before we get ready to go over to Cotton Bowl Speedway this weekend for me for some dirt racing. So just another busy week.
Mm-hmm. I'm very much in the busy season at my work. This month is one of our big awareness campaigns. And I've also decided that I'm going to start trying to do the iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Series.
There we go. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It was. We had the first round. I am doing this. Hold on. Have I done the first round since we were last on air?
I have
done the first round since we were last on air. Just had to check the calendar. First round was the weekend of Easter, so that would have been 2 weeks ago now. So after we recorded, and I'm doing the series with someone who's been on the show before, former tour staff member DDM Jam, as I've mentioned before. Now that I'm saying this and remembering me saying this, we were actually more competitive than I thought we were going to be. We're actually battling for the lead almost to the halfway point before I had a bit of an incident with a GT3 Porsche that was coming past. So, fortunately, we had some damage from that, and then Jam made a couple mistakes, and then I made a couple mistakes. So, unfortunately, we didn't finish well, but we've definitely learned more for
making progress.
Yeah. This is the first time that I've really done any racing on the Nürburgring, just in general.
Oh, goodness.
Even on Forza. Like, Forza, it's been the odd event. I haven't really done, like, a dedicated Nürburgring series before. So, I'm definitely learning. This is not a car that I've driven that much, the GT4 Aston. It's a fun little car. I really should drive it more, even though I do prefer the Merc in GT4, but that's not an option for this series, so here we go. But yeah, next round's in next weekend, coming up.
Absolutely. It's just another busy weekend for you in the world of sim racing, I have to say.
Yes. And I really do enjoy sim racing. I don't do it as much as I would like to do it, but when I do it, it's usually these larger events. Like, if you look at my iRacing history, I don't do weekly racing. I mostly just do the special events.
Yeah, so I mostly do the weekly events or the AI.
Yeah. Speaking of special events, the Road America 500 is this weekend.
It is, and it's a pretty fun event. I have to say that's going to be happening later on this weekend. You, of course, utilizing once again the GTP and GTO machineries from the K Camel GT era in the IMSA days, which I have to say is an absolutely amazing scenario and race that we'll be putting on from iRacing.
Yes. I've been running so much the last couple of weekends. It's just like, I don't have time to do this weekend. I just need to rest or else I'll be doing it. I do... iRacing, if you are listening. First of all, hi there. Thank you for tuning in. Secondly, I would like to see more cars from that era added to the service.
Me and you and a whole bunch of people, but unfortunately...
Yeah. I can tell you offhand, just because I've seen this. In the Forza world, these cars are extremely popular. Some of our largest events on Tora have been running classic IMSA-style series. Particularly our classic 24 Hours at Daytona. Where we get, you know, Red Bull racing drivers showing up. Red Bull Esports. Or what, however... Are they Red Bull Sim Racing now? I guess they are Red Bull Sim Racing now.
Either way, they're part of the main core of people who are coming on board with that.
Yeah. So, if you were to, you know, add those cars, I don't think you would struggle for them to be for that series to be popular, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And besides, frankly, if Forza can get the licensing agreement for those cars, I'm pretty sure you could do it pretty easily.
I would have to agree.
I'm just saying. Anyway, shall we jump into this week's selection of sim racing news?
Of course, let's go into it. I guess we're starting off first and foremost with the great world of Forza and their tomfoolery.
Yes. Before we do, remember you can follow us on social media using the hashtag SimcastRSL to tell us what you're thinking about of our accounts, particularly Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, even though we barely do anything on Threads. And by we, I mean me, because I'm the one that mostly pushes stuff on Threads. At Simcast Radio. And of course, myself, Taylor, Gooey, Matt, and Steven are all members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. Also, since we were talking about the Nürburgring, congratulations, Jimmy Broadband. Alex, I mean Steve Brown. If you know that joke, you know what I'm talking about. Misha and Manuel Metzger? I always blank on how to pronounce his last name.
So it's Misha Chatterone and then yeah. Manuel Metzer.
Metzer, okay. Huge congratulations to them coming back after having that puncture that took them out of the first round to come back and get a class win in their brand new BMW M4 GT4. Super impressive stuff, guys.
Very much so. Looking forward to see what they can do in the future.
Mm-hmm. Next round's next weekend, isn't it?
I believe so, if not in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. There's your bit of real-world motorsports stuff ingrained in this sim racing show. As is tradition. Anyway, let's talk about Forza Motorsport. They have a brand new update that came out earlier this week. We are on update 7. I'm really encouraged that they are continuing to do these weekly updates because this game basically launched as a beta, even though it wasn't called a beta, but I feel more like a beta tester than a game player, if that makes any sense. So they've been slowly squashing bugs as they've come up, fixing things that they've messed up. More on that later. As time has gone on, we are almost to the 6-month point of this title. Actually, wait a minute. October, November, December, January, February, March, April. We are past the 6-month point of this title. So, not only does that mean that car pass holders will be no longer receiving free cars, it also means that this game really should be in a better state than it is right now. I understand as we've talked about on this show, that this is going to be a live service game, which means they are, and I just put my finger in my own tea. That was fun. That's stream of consciousness. That does mean that they are slowly going to be adding and subtracting and fixing things as this game goes on. But still, the way that this title is has left a bad taste in a lot of players' mouths. So hopefully Forza can get their game to a point where they can start attracting players to come play it rather than pushing them away. Anyway, the highlights of Update 7. First of all, the biggest one is that there's a new track. Brands Hatch has returned to the Forza franchise after not being in Forza Motorsport when it launched. We, of course, have the Grand Prix and the Indy variants of the track. I have not had an opportunity to drive it, but from all accounts, the representation that is in Forza Motorsport is very accurate. Matt specifically said that it looks like the scan, which I believe Forza is doing mostly laser scan tracks now, that the scan in question is from around 2022-2023, because there's a certain bits and pieces that were changed on the track during that time period that he's spotting in the promo videos. Matt also spotted, as I should mention, that in some of Forza's promotional materials, they mislabeled Druids as Paddock Hill Bend. Forza,
George and Alex.
Forza, please do better. Yeah. I feel like I say that every episode. I feel like I say the words Forza, please do better. The spotlight cars this week are the 81 Ford Zach Speed Racing Capri Turbo, the 1969 Lola T163, the Brabham BT24 from 67, the 88 Jag XJR9, and the 1975 BMW 3.0 CSL. As I mentioned earlier, iRacing, here are some great examples for you to add to your collection of Camel GT cars. Just saying. We have some pretty solid car pass cars this month. Remember, if you are a car pass holder, that this is the last month for free cars. Everything from here on out, it's going to be paid DLC, which is kind of crappy, but welcome to modern gaming. First of all, we have the 1970 Matra Simeca number 146, and I'm actually not really familiar with this car. Eclipse Matra Simeca M6650 Tour de France.
So I'm looking at the Matra, and for those of you, this Matra is actually a very reputable car. It competed a lot at Le Mans, of course, and is definitely a reputable car. Of course, Matra picked up a couple of wins at Le Mans during the late 70s, early 80s, so definitely a very reputable car to utilize.
Yes, and it's also in great company, because there are several cars from this era of Le Mans in Forza Motorsport within the Forza Motorsport franchise. There have been great examples of cars from this era of racing at Le Mans, so
absolutely
fits perfectly in place. The other two cars are pretty special. The 2019 Ginetta G55 GT4. After Matt was very particularly excited about this one, because he's been trying to get Ginetta into Forza for years. I believe this is the first non-prototype Ginetta that's actually been in Forza, if I'm remembering correctly. So pretty cool we have that. If only we had more GT4 cars, and I mean actual GT4 cars, not production cars that we build to GT4 specs, as we usually have to do for tour events. you know, I wasn't going to get the soapbox out on this one, but apparently I have chosen violence.
You have. Yes. You love it.
And the other car in the car pass pack this time is the 2016 Ligier JSP3.
Yeah, this one, of course, with the Euro National colors, yes. Of course. So pretty exciting to see that added as part of the European Le Mans series back in 2016.
The only thing I'm more afraid of than iRacing dentists is now Forza dentists. What?
I said true that.
True that, yeah. There was also some concern among the racing community that they were just going to throw this car into the Forza P2 class, but it appears as though they've actually made a Forza P3 class so that this car doesn't get put with the P2s.
That sounds terrifying.
Yes.
Why would you do that?
Why would you put V8 supercars with GT cars? Why would you keep GT3 and GT4 in the same class? Why would you put GT3 and
this is why I don't deal with Forza.
And GT500 in the same class. Why would you?
This is why I don't deal with Forza.
Yeah. They have made Super Trofeo and GT3 are apparently the same.
Far from it.
Yeah, but these are just hashtag because Forza. Just Forza things. Forza, and after I've been making fun of them for the last, 10 minutes, I will actually give them some credit. Their patch notes have become much better over the last couple of months. They've put their full patch notes on their support site, that's support.forzamotorsport.net. If you want to check that out, they're far more complete than what previous Forza patch notes have been in the past. So if you want to read through the entirety of these patch notes, that's where they are available. I'm only going to hit the highlights in this show because no one wants to listen to me read things like removed mouse acceleration when moving decals in the livery editor.
I don't even
know what that means.
Honestly. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
So yeah, if you want to see the full notes, that's where you can find them. A couple other highlights I do want to hit. The Forza race regulations, there's been a slight change to those. I'm going to read this word for word from the Forza support site so that I'm getting this information correct. In update 6, which was the previous update from last month, we made two specific changes to the FRR model. That's the Forza race regulations, if you're not familiar with that acronym. The first change was to add more examples of slide-slide collisions to the model's training data. The second was to reduce false negatives and ensure we assign penalties to players who should have received them, but were not. The second change had unintended circumstances. Unintended consequence, I read that wrong, of increasing false positives by a much larger margin than anticipated, meaning it assigned penalties to players who should not have received them. The words should not, I should mention, were in bolded text. In Update 7, we have adjusted the weighting so that we can expect to see false positives reduce and added more examples of swipes to our training data to adjust the model. So, thank you, Turn10, for fixing that. Please continue to do more improvements to FRR, like, for instance, completely changing it so that it's a strike-based system instead of a time-based system. Or, making a system where you can bleed time off. So you actually have to drive strategically and actually try to keep your point penalties low. If that makes any sense.
It does, but still, it's kind of crazy. They went from one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite end of the spectrum and now have to fix it again.
Yeah. Hashtag just Forza things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The final bit of bug fixes that they mentioned in their release that I want to point out is that they have added a new uniform scale and ununiform stretch tools to replace size whenever you're changing the size of decals within their livery editor. These can be applied to individual decals or layer groups, which means that if you have, like, for instance, a website URL, you'll be able to make that URL longer and taller without, like, unilaterally from each other so that it doesn't scale uniformly, if that makes sense. It's given livery, the livery artist, I guess. Well, I don't want to use the word artist. Artist has a certain connotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
Livery creators, let's go with that. Livery creators who have just had to rely on uniform scale before now has a little bit more flexibility with how they change the size on things in the Forza Paint booth.
Interesting.
That said, again, and I'm staying on this soapbox, Forza Paint booth has not really been changed that much in the past 10 years, 10, 15 years. It could do with a refresh. Just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, a new section of Forza's patch notes this month just added earlier on the day of recording was that we now actually have a list of the BOP adjustments made to their future multiplayer series. Essentially, how their future multiplayer series works is that Forza has built their own balance of performance within each of these series so that it's no longer relying solely on the PI system, which is great. However, there are still some cars that have had a significant benefit and just completely overpowered. So they've been slowly tweaking things in the background and not really telling anybody about it until the community really took notice of it and have been asking Turn 10 to include these details within their patch notes. And they finally have done it. Again, there is a list on the patch notes, so you can go ahead and read through all of those if you so choose. It's pretty inane things, like, for instance, for the Forza Touring Car series, the Subaru Levorg GT has had its engine torque increased by 9%.
That's a nice way to, or easy, interesting way to how to set it up properly.
Yes. Meanwhile, though, also in this series, the MG has had its engine torque decreased by 0.55%, and the Peugeot has had its engine decreased by 5%.
And then, of course, the Subaru got an increase of engine torque by about 9%.
Yeah. Oh, and Volkswagen, I almost missed the Golf up there, had its engine decreased by 7%. So, oh, and they basically decided just to throw the wrench at the Touring Car series because the Hyundai had its engine torque increased by 3%. So, anyway, a bunch of really inane things which apparently make a difference.
Added a lot of interesting things added on to that.
Yeah. If they would give community leagues the ability to do things like this, or, you know, give them more parts to be able to play with the balance of performance than having to rely on, you know, stuff like handicaps and other phone things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm getting too soapboxy. that brings us to kind of the end of Forza's notes. So again, if you want to read all of them, you can find them at support.forzamotorsport.net. Taylor, why don't you start us talking about Thrustmaster for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, Thrustmaster has released a new eco system, starting with the Evo Racing 32R leather. And it's pretty interesting looking over this information here with the new Thrustmaster. A brand new wheel hub, as well as a fresh 32-centimeter round leather steering wheel. And it looks pretty comfortable, I gotta say, as they've been trying to make some updates here to help maybe improve the action and the drivability with this steering wheel. And of course, the new hub that can be used interchangeably with new different rims. You also get 25 action buttons, 4 rotary encoders, a top-mounted RPM LED light, which can also be utilized for flags, as well as an adjustable thumb button module. So the first rim is about 32 millimeters with a leather wheel. And then, of course, the system is built for the T818, but it's also compatible for others that allow to change different rims throughout the thing. And, of course, price for this, you're looking at just about here in the U.S., about $300. A little bit more if you count tax, and it will be released on May the 2nd. I got to say, it's a nice little rim, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you can utilize the interchangeableness, because I have to say, that's the biggest thing. Interchanging rims. We see a lot of professional sim racers utilize that, where they switch from, of course, the actual full-on 360-degree rim to a butterfly wheel, etc., because it helps with the improvement of the driving. I mean, we see some drivers who just use only one specific type of rim, and it works out well for them, period. But then there's some who just like to switch it up a little bit because of how they're racing.
Yeah. I will say that it's incredibly difficult to drive something like a dirt sprint car on a GT-style butterfly rim.
Yeah, it,
ask
yes,
me
it
how
is.
I know.
it's not fun.
Mm-mm. Yeah. As a Thrustmaster user, this is an interesting... Well, okay. It's about time that Thrustmaster has gone in this direction. Many of their rims have been pretty limiting, if I'm honest. Like, the ones that I have used, their last round rim, you know, barring the Sparco P3210, if I'm remembering correctly, their last round rims did not have very many buttons, which is what, you know, led me to purchase the SF1000, and before and after that, the Ferrari 458 GT3 rim. No, wait, sorry, 488 GT3. Too many Ferrari rims. And you, if you were not a Ferrari fan, much like myself, having all of these Ferrari-branded wheels feels kind of weird, at least in my opinion. So having a round wheel that has all of the suggestibility is pretty good. Actually having different buttons that you can actually use instead of the 8 that were on the last one. Pretty good. It is a bright wheel, I will say. The stitching inside of the wheel matches the bright stickers they've put on the hub itself. The hub does come with other stickers that you can change the font of the numbers that are on the buttons themselves. I'm figuring there's probably going to be a there's going to be a mod that's available so that you can actually label these stickers probably within the year. I'm really glad that Thrustmasters, you know, I'm glad that they're going in this direction. Just having a universal hub like this, just because it's going to cut down on costs, and it will help other like users such as myself that doesn't want a room full of Ferrari wheels.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, but of course, it is great to see a seat company like that have a partnership with Ferrari to be able to utilize that. But yeah, it can be a little too much, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, And this is a shock to no one. I may have already made a poor financial decision, so expect a review.
Oh no.
Expect a review on this rim in a couple weeks.
Well, speaking of other poor financial decisions that could possibly come into play, how about the new cockpit that Fanatec has come out with, of course, with the CSL cockpit, which released today, or actually not today, but back on April the 4th.
Yes. This is Fanatec's second cockpit, I want to say. I know they have the Rensport Cockpit V2. So, okay, technically, this is the third cockpit, but this is meant to be like an entry-level cockpit, which I have a bit of an issue with, but we'll get to that as we go further down. This is a GT-style rig, and it is said that it can handle 25 newton meters of torque and is designed with load cell braking systems.
Right. And I gotta say,
if this is an entry-level rig, I think you can probably see my point before I say it here. If this is an entry-level rig, why is it designed for the high-end stuff?
Yeah, I gotta say, it's got its pros and its cons. It looks like it's a comfortable sim rig, I have to say, compared to most others. Plus, also, as it being a entry-level, for being an entry-level, to be able to have a monitor mount rig,
dear listener, please do look up pictures of this, because it probably has the best monitor mounting system that I've seen in the sim racing market. It's literally attached to the rig, especially at this price point. You probably can't get this anywhere else at this price. It's attached to the rig, and you can put it directly above your wheel.
Absolutely. Because normally, get a mounted monitor attachment costs an extra $100.
Yeah, and it does cost an extra $120 in this case.
Mm-hmm. So
that's euros as well. It's 120 euros as well, I should mention.
So not a bad deal, I have to say. And for if you want to learn more information, go check it out at fanatec.com for all of that. Of course, it's not a bad deal, especially to kind of keep people off the mind of the fact that the CEO has stepped aside.
Yes. Yeah. If you're not sure what we're talking about, Matt and Steven covered during the last episode. A couple other things I want to mention about this rig. As we've already mentioned, the monitor mount, which is an optional extra that you can add for $120. There's also an optional shifter mount, which is available for $40. You can also buy a seat directly from Fanatec. Designed for this rig, has matching yellow stitching and embodied Fanatec branding, Fanatec branding everywhere. That's going to be $100 by itself. So whenever you add up all these options, it enters into a much more expensive price range, but I have found, and this is just my opinion, that whenever it comes to sim racing equipment like this, you get what you pay for.
Absolutely. And so yeah. True. But yeah. By the looks of it, it's not a bad price compared to other rigs there.
The rig itself is $400, but when you're adding all the things, you're getting into, I think that's like GT Omega money. Next Level Racing has a couple of rigs at that price point that look a bit more substantial than this. It has a little bit more customizability at that price range. And I'm sorry to say, given that it's Fanatec, even though this rig is available now, you'll probably get it around Christmas.
Yeah, unfortunately. So you probably won't be seeing this anytime soon.
Yes. I do share a different opinion about Fanatec shipping issues than Mr. Hunter does. It's just our difference of opinion. Matt is very much a Fanatec fanboy, I will say. So I'm not surprised that he took the stance on, if you ordered something in November and it's not here in March, get over it. I do have a difference of opinion.
You know, there's a time and a place where you got to wait. You're waiting on it because of certain things, but then there's a point where it's like, when you're waiting over 3 months, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're in the market for a new Fanatec rig, which I also forgot to mention, this rig is only compatible with Fanatec products. Fanatec literally has a disclaimer on their website that says, and I will quote, compatibility adjustments may depend on peripheral used. For example, height options for the podium wheelbases are limited due to the size of the casting, and the use of third-party sim racing hardware is not tested nor endorsed by Fanatec.
Okay, then.
Yes, that said, pretty much every Fanatec peripheral is available and will work with this mount, but it looks, if you're going to be buying this rig, I hope you have Fanatec products, or else it's going to be awkward.
Very awkward.
Anyway, moving right along, we're dipping back a little bit into the sim racing news portfolio. This is actually a story that came out back in the middle of March. Yes, or the end of March. It was something that we did not get to on our last program, but F1 Manager 2024 has showcased a little bit of what their livery editor is going to be like. It looks comparable to any of the other console racing game livery editors, particularly for the F1 games. You have an option of presets with custom colors and gradients that you can change. Doesn't look like you really change the position of, like, where they are on the car. Doesn't really look like you can change the position or the level of gradients on some of these. You will be able to customize the livery, the wheel covers, the racing suits, the helmets, and the team logo itself. Forza. Sorry, but going back to Forza for a second, so I'm not quite off my soapbox. Forza. Customizable race suits and helmets. Even F1 Manager 2024 is doing that. Gran Turismo has been doing that for the past two games. It's time for you to get with it.
Time to get with the program, people.
Yep. Anyway, F1 Manager's livery editor will have 50 different fictional sponsors that you'll have to choose from, but in order to use them, you'll have to negotiate with the company, and that's in air quotes, during the season. You will have the freedom to place the logos on the car where you would like them to be. You can change the color of each logo as you see fit, and you can negotiate with sponsors about performance targets, off track appearances, like media things, and other things along those lines you expect from a manager game. You can also set up special one-off liveries during the season as well. Something like the white Red Bulls from a couple years ago. Or basically the entire grid at Vegas last year. Yeah, so it's cool that we're getting to see this type of thing from Frontier. I still want to see what the stats on how many Andretti Cadillac teams there are going to be within F1 Manager 24.
Oh, I would say nearly half the population who ends up buying this game.
More than likely. Anyway.
Some random American team.
Yeah. So we've got about 20 minutes left in tonight's program. So should we transfer over to the esports roundup of the week?
Well, of course, we can absolutely do that, my good friend Ben. And let's go ahead and take a look at some of the things that have been happening in the world of esports competition. One thing that we do have to talk about is your 2024 Porsche Tag Heuer Esports Super Cup Championship round, of course, at the Temple of Speed at Monza. And Sebastian Jobe takes home the championship and is now a two-time iRacing World Champion with Team Redline as well. A great drive for him as he was able to put on a dominating performance. He didn't win the first feature race. That went to Jordan Caruso.
No, you called the round.
And then in the second race, of course, Diego Pinto would win in the second race. So it literally wasn't Sebastian really going out there and dominating the week this past round, but it was just him being consistent and looking over his runs. Of course, Sebastian finished seventh in race two, and in race one, he finished seventh again. So not a whole lot of issues, just making sure he was consistent and staying where he felt comfortable in order to capture his second career championship. And then, of course, the drivers for the Porsche Tag Heuer All Esports All-Star event, it went as this. The Pulo Lopez was able to take home the first race, while the basic Ollie took the second place. But after seven rounds, though, it was eNASCAR driver Casey Kerwin who took over the championship by 11 points. So an exciting race for them. And, of course, we won't see these drivers back at it till end of 2024, first of 2025. And then, of course, that's not the only series who was on the road courses. The eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series headed to across the pond over in the UK to Brands Hatch, as Bobby Zielinski continues to extend his eNASCAR road win record, as he's one of the only drivers who has one of the longest tenures, his 15th career victory in eNASCAR competition. And of course, it was a little chaotic to see the drivers going left and right on this British circuit. Of course, rounding out your field as they look through is Bobby Zielinski, Stephen Wilson, Tucker Minter, Nick Ottinger, and Vicente Salas, who made his NASCAR Truck Series debut a couple of weeks ago at Circuit of the Americas. So he finished in fifth place. With that, though, the championship does go as follow. It is, of course, Casey Kerwin, Stephen Wilson, Nick Ottinger, your top three. And then, of course, as they work their way through and the rest of the competition, Chente Salas, Parker White, Bobby Zielinski, Wyatt Tinsley, Zach Novak, Donovan Strauss, and Colin Keister. Next round, of course, for the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series is in 2 weeks as they head to the Monster Mile at Dover on Tuesday, April 23rd.
Thanks for that, Taylor.
Of course.
The old adage still holds that more consistency wins championships, not just race wins.
Absolutely. Another thing also, too, with iRacing, they had a recent update to kind of help separate the two micro sprint cars that we have here on iRacing. So now instead of just having the wingless and the non-wing, we now have a stock dirt micro sprint car and an outlaw dirt micro sprint car. Now, what are you probably wondering? Well, what's the difference between the two of them
other than I am.
Well, here's the thing. Now, when it's called the Dirt Outlaw Micro Sprint Cars, these cars are 160 horsepower with a 600cc engine. Compared to the Dirt Micro stock ones, they're about 40 horsepower less with 120 horsepower. So, basically just giving the chance for those who want to learn how to drive these cars, but don't want to really go into the big level classes. You can go and do that with the Outlaws, and then the Micros are going to be more towards the rookie classes. So that's going to be exciting. Of course, you can race in either the rookie micro wing sprint cars, the rookie micro non-wing sprint cars, and then the Millbridge micro short showdown, which will be utilizing the big Outlaw micro sprint cars.
Good to know.
Absolutely. Yes. Of course, it's great to see this added on, and we'll have to wait and see what's to come. I mean, it's hard to believe, though. We are looking over the weeks in iRacing. I think we're either week four or week five, and it's already a little bit of rumblings of what's to come now for the next build in 2024. We're already halfway through. We got, of course, the biggest one, which is rain. Okay. But now people are also now wondering, what else could we see coming in to 2024 as this year progresses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of rain, iRacing also announced earlier this week that the Rain Master the Rain Master series will be coming to the service this season. If you're familiar with the Ring Meister series, which is a series that takes different cars to the Nürburgring Nordschleife each week and switches out which car is being raced from week to week, the Rain Master is basically the same thing, except there's a bit of rain in the forecast. I don't know about you, Taylor, but rain on the Nürburgring just sounds frightening to me.
Oh, trust me, I am ready to see how the Nürburgring 24 will go later on this year.
Yes, because I believe it's slated that in the next iRacing update, we will see rain tires for the GT4s and the TCRs.
Yes, most likely, along with possibly...
There's definitely been rumblings of that.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe even the next-gen cars.
Well, that would be entertaining.
Oh, yes, it would be. Could you imagine having a rain race for the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series? And also, imagine this. Or actually, it happened during the Monza All-Star race. They actually let it rain for the All-Stars instead of the championship, of course, because we didn't want to cause any chaos for them. Mm-hmm. But during the All-Star event, they let it rain at the start of the event, which was kind of cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides, just, we will return to Esports Roundup of the Week in a second here, but since we're on this topic, what do you think would be the next cars that have rain enabled, besides the TCRs and GT4s? Are we going to move into Super Formulas? Are we going to move into the other Formula cars? What do you think?
Well, the Super Formula Light already has rain tires as well. So yeah. So it's probably a guarantee we will see the Super Formula car added on mm-hmm. with rain tires. Like you also said, the GT4, TCR cars. I would say possibly we would see it for... I can't remember, does the P3 car have rain tires?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't believe it does. It wouldn't fit into the umbrella that they used for the endurance sports car, which would have been the GT3s, the P2, and the GTPs, mm-hmm. or the hypercars, however you want to refer to that class.
Right.
I believe LMP3 was not included in that list, so they were probably not that far down the line either.
I would say probably just as a guess, so TCR, GT4 cars, Super Formula, LMP3, and probably the Mazda MX-5 Cup car would be at least the big five important ones, and probably maybe throw in the Toyota GR86.
GR86 is already rain-enabled.
Okay, it already has rain-enabled. Okay, yeah. Well, then there you go.
Which, so, it was weird to me that they did the GR86, but not the MX-5 Cup car.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I guess they don't want rookies on rain yet, but at the same way, if I was starting as an iRacing rookie, I would want to try to start learning how to drive in the rain as soon as possible. But again, that's me. But then again, do you really want a rookie series in the rain? I keep having these arguments in my own head.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Separate the week.
Yeah. I wonder if they're probably not going to add it to the Mustang FS 500, because I believe the Mustang Challenge car is going to replace that later this year.
Ooh, where'd you hear that? Or is that just a guess?
That's just a guess.
Okay.
Right. Considering that it's going to be a support series for IMSA and WEC and GT World Challenge, it's probably safe to assume. Besides, we're on two generations of Mustang past that car at this point.
Agreed.
So it's about time that it gets updated, in my opinion. Because I really do enjoy the PCC, the Production Car Challenge series. So I like to see that car get an update, considering that, you know, the Solstice hasn't been replaced with the GR86. The Jetta was replaced with the Renault Clio. it would be nice to see another update for that series.
I agree.
My opinion, at least. And maybe... do we need... this is completely off topic, but do we really need the GR86 and the MX-5 in that series? I guess one is paid, one is not. So there's argument.
Here's what I gotta say for that. So I know people are wondering, we need multi-class. Well, looking over the sports car list, pretty much, and it's a very big list of cars. You have different multi-class series, even in the D ranking series. You have the Global Challenge, which has the, of course, the Cadillac and the Kia.
I forget about that series.
Yeah, so you have that as a multi-class series. But honestly, I mean, if you think about it, when it comes to that style of racing, you don't see a lot of up-and-coming drivers go in racing in multi-class events. It's mostly single-make or single-class style. So I would think it's probably best to move that all up to C-class, which it is, for the most part, out of all the drivers. So I honestly don't think that we need to worry about multi-class. So, and honestly, the Mustang Challenge, I think, is perfect how it is. Production sim car, yeah, we don't see those four cars racing against each other on any form of track, not even here in the United States.
That is fair. That is a very good fair point.
I mean, the closest thing I can maybe think of is SCCA competition, but
there's an entire Mustang Skip Barber Challenge as well.
Exactly.
Too. So. And a Spec Racer Ford series.
Mm-hmm. And a Clio series.
Yeah. And yeah, actually, all four of those cars in that series have their own standalone series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fair point.
Yeah. So I honestly, in my opinion, except for maybe the Fanatec Global Challenge, which uses two cars that are no longer racing in any form of competition, unless it's maybe, you know, historic racing or SCCA competition, you know, in my opinion, we don't need multi-class in rookie or D-class.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to start learning those things
it
at
is.
That level, but considering that all of the special events, which are for the most part multi-class, there are a couple exceptions to that rule, but most of those, particularly in the sports car section of iRacing, starts with C class. So,
yes,
makes sense. Yeah, and since we're talking about multi-class series at C class, I would really like to see iRacing bring back more Michelin Pilot Challenge style events. From what I can tell, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Michelin Pilot Challenge has been moved to like twice, oh, or like every 2 weeks, something like that, and it's a longer race. Meanwhile, the Falcon Tire Sports Car Challenge, aka the VP Series, runs hourly. But having that, I really like the combination of GT4 and TCR.
Yeah, I agree. It is a good combination. And I have to say that they kind of maybe need to do that more often. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a fixed series, like what IMSA does with their series. They have a IMSA endurance.
Fixed, and then an IMSA open, yeah.
Yep, and then they have the short sprint races. So I think maybe that's what they need to consider. But I think also they don't want to pile it on a lot, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because even though this is what I gotta say, as far as having so many series, because if you think about it, the IMSA Endurance Series, the IMSA Open, the IMSA Fix Series, And then, if you look at what other series, as far as sports cars with prototypes and GT racing, you have, I believe there is another one, where it's, nope, they don't have the European Endurance Series anymore, which is actually
No, they removed the European Series this year because the European Endurance Series would be the IMSA Series at this point.
Pretty much. So good on them on that matter.
Yeah. So, anyway, thank you, listeners, for listening to our little trip down the rabbit hole of talking about iRacing Weekly Series. that was completely unplanned. And actually kind of a fun conversation. Let us know what your opinions are. Hashtag SimcastRSL, as per usual.
Absolutely.
Yes. Couple more esports related things. F1 Sim Racing is returning. Maybe. Well, actually, no. At this point, it's not a baby. F1 Sim Racing is back. If you're not familiar, F1 Esports, F1 Sim Racing, depends upon who is talking about what it's called. It's called F1 Sim Racing, but all their social media, and we're months at this point since they've changed the name, is still F1 Esports. There was a massive dust-up back in November between ESL and F1 that caused the season to be postponed. We were never sure when it was going to come back, but it was announced earlier last week, after Matt and Steven had already recorded the show, that F1 Sim Racing will be returning, and because they only have until May 31st to actually finish the season, they have crammed everything in to two LAN events. This week, as the racing has already started earlier today on the day of recording, it will continue over the next 2 days. Drivers will be racing at Jeddah, the Red Bull Ring, Spielberg, whatever you want to call it, Silverstone, Spa, Zandvoort, and COTA. May 7th and 9th, the series will end at Mexico City, Interlagos, Las Vegas, Qatar, and Yas Marina. I really did not think that the series could be returning, but suddenly it appears. Or insert the relevant Palpatine joke here. Somehow F1 Sim Racing returned. Another series that was announced this week was the return of the Toyota Gazoo Racing GT Cup. We're on the sixth season of this series, if I remember correctly. This is a championship that takes place on Gran Turismo 7, and they've continuously it up and progressed it. This season will actually bring together vehicles from Subaru, Nissan, Honda, and Mazda. These brands in particular are partners with Toyota in the Super Taikyu, and I'm going to mispronounce this, I apologize, the Wigaglia? How would you pronounce that, Taylor?
Repeat that again, that last little part?
The
Super Taikyu Wagaya?
Wagaya, that's what I was thinking. The Super Wagaya Club, which is part of the Super Taikyu series, which, if I'm remembering correctly, whenever I read through their press release, that is a particular class that focuses more on more renewable fuels, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yes. This way, Toyota says, they are thus promoting real motorsports and e-motorsports at the same time. The schedule is as follows. This is following still some of the similar structure where it's the cars change every 2 weeks. The first round will take place the week of April 28th, and that's the Subaru BRZ and the Toyota GR86, both from 2021, basically the same car, at Suzuka. Round 2 will be May 12th, featuring for the first time in this series, the Toyota Prius G from 2009 at Laguna Seca. Round 3 will be June 9th with the Toyota GR010, aka the hypercar, at Le Mans. Kale Soprizo, June 9th. Of course, it's going to be Le Mans. Round 4 will be June 30th, featuring the Mazda 3, the Supra WRX, and the Toyota Supra GT4-ish GR.4 cars at the Nürburgring GP. Round 5 will be July 14th, featuring the Supra Formula cars at Catalunya with no chicane. It's very important to note there. Round 6 will be August 11th, featuring the Toyota Yaris GR, the GR Yaris, excuse me, from 2020 at the Grand Valley South. Round 7 will be August 25th, featuring the Honda NXX, the Lexus RCF, the Mazda RX Vision, the Nissan GTR, and the Subaru BRZ GT3 GR3 cars at Fuji Speedway. And then the final, which is a date to be announced in December, will be the usual GT World Series final, which will, you know, feature a various combination of these cars. There will, of course, as always, be 24 finalists, 9 from Europe, 4 from Asia, 3 from North America, 3 from South/Central America, 2 from Oceania, and an additional 3 finalists will be selected from a special Toyota Gazoo Racing competition held only in Asia. What final bit of note, all players who enter the event or take part in a race will receive a special black livery version of the Toyota GR010. Anyway, that does bring us to the end of another episode of the Simcast. Taylor, any final thoughts?
Gonna enjoy another great week of racing. Maybe gonna, hopefully, depending on my schedule, I gotta go to some dirt tracks this weekend. Mm-hmm. At Cotton Bowl. Hopefully get the chance to go run the Road America 500. That would be kind of nice to do. But hopefully see everyone on the grid in the virtual world.
Yes. I do occasionally, and this is kind of fun, because I get to say this sentence. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened twice. If I had a quarter for every time that someone on iRacing has said, "Hey, are you Ben from the Simcast? Love your show," I would have 50 cents. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it makes me feel really special and lets me know that, you know, we aren't screaming to the void sometimes. But yes, to echo Taylor's comment, see you out there on the virtual grid. Because Lewis isn't here, I also need to say this. Hashtag eat more tacos.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for listening. Matt and Steven will be back next week. And from myself and Taylor, stay safe out there, and bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.